Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos. Officially, we're doing Daf Lamed Dalet. We're going to start from Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis by the Mishnah. We had gotten ahead yesterday, almost the full Daf, to make up for Pesach already, and we're going to begin two-thirds of the way down by the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. We're learning today Lilu Nishmas Israel Rozansky, Yisrael Ben Henoch HaKohen. All the Shams we learn for should have an Aliyah. We go to the Mishnah, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, two-thirds of the way down. The Mishnah tells us, Shnayim Shekitshu Shtei Noshim. You have two men that marry two women. But unfortunately, Ubishas Knisosin Luchuppa Hechlifu Eshelzeh Lezeh, the Eshelzeh Lezeh. What happened here was Nebuch, again, this is not necessarily a real case that actually occurred. The Mishnahs often teach us theoretical ideas, but what happened over here was that Reuven was supposed to marry Rachel, and Shimon was supposed to marry Levi, and somehow at the wedding call, the women got mixed up, and ended up Reuven went home with Leah, and Shimon went home with Rachel, and they had relations with them. So in this situation, Harelu Chayavim Mishum Eishasish, they're each Chayav for sleeping with another man's wife. They each had undergone the first stage of Kiddushin. In those days, they would have Kiddushin a year before the Nisuin. Today we do them both, obviously, at the same time at the wedding, but they used to do them a year before, or up to a year beforehand, and as a result, they would have the women being actually fully married, albeit they weren't permitted yet to live with either their husband, and certainly they couldn't live with anyone else. So at this point in time, Rachel and Leah were each respectively married, Rachel to Reuven and Leah to Shimon, but now, unfortunately, each of them had relations with the other person's wife, and therefore each of them is mechuyavos in a chatos. They each did something wrong. We'll see that this is talking about, even though it uses the lashon over hechlifu, as if they did it b'nezid, but here it obviously was going to be, the Gemara will explain, that this was done by accident, it was all b'shogeg. So therefore, harei ilu chayavim mishum eishasish. Everybody's chayav over here for having lived with a married woman that wasn't their wife. Then we add to this, if Reuven and Shimon were in fact brothers, so then in addition to having the isser of a married woman, there's another problem. They each slept mishum eishasach. In addition to an eishasish, they now also have eishasach, which is a separate prohibition. And in fact, if Rachel and Leah were sisters, you have an additional problem over here of Achos Ishto, in addition to Eshesach, in addition to Eshesich. So there are three prohibitions that they would be each over. And in this situation, it would be over. As I said, Achos Ishto. And then finally, the fourth prohibition, going, you need those. If these women were all need those, so then you would also be Chayiv Mishum Nida. So there are potentially four transgressions that each of them could have done. And we'll have in the Gemara, the Ruchi is going to say it's a potential for 16 Chatos. Because Reuven has to bring four Chatos, Shimon has to bring four Chatos, Rachel has to bring four Chatos, and Leah has to bring four chatos. So it will be 16 prohibitions over here, 16 chatos that have to be brought. Then the Mishnah concludes and tells us, "Umafrish no son shlosha chadoshim." This is a din called havchana. If they had this relations, so there's a potential that they could have gotten pregnant. But now they're going to be returned to their regular husbands. They're going to have relations with their regular husbands. We're not going to know who the father of the baby is, assuming that they did get pregnant. So therefore, we have this din called havchana. As we'll see later in the Masechta, this din applies in all situations when a woman had relations with one man and then she's going to have relations with another man. Let's say Rachmana Lislan, her husband died and she gets remarried, or she gets divorced and then she gets remarried. So you have to always wait at least 3 months in between the last relations with the first husband and the next relations with the next husband. There has to be at least a 3-month waiting period of time. And this way you'll have havchana, you'll have clarity, it'll be clear, it'll be known, it'll be able to be distinguished who the father of the child is. Because in those days, in the time of the Gemara, and even nowadays you can have a premature, but in those days it was normal to have sometimes a 7-month pregnancy, and that wasn't premature, and then they had a 9-month pregnancy. And therefore, if a child were to be born, if both of them had relations within the 3-month period of time, so then, in that situation, if a child is born, it could be 7-month pregnancy from the second husband, or it could be a 9-month pregnancy from the first husband. And therefore, you wait 3 months, so this way, it isn't a concern. This is called havchana, and that's what the Mishnah tells us. Mafrishino son shlosh chadoshim, after they had relations with the wrong person, so this was all b'shogeg, as we'll see, so they're allowed to go back to their husbands, assuming they're not kohanim. So then they go back to their husbands, but they have to wait 3 months till they go back to their husbands and have relations with them. Why? Shemu b'baris hein, because maybe they became pregnant from the first relations, or we won't know. They become pregnant from the second relations, and we won't know who the father is. Then the Mishnah tells us, Yuktanos, but if they were young women and incapable of getting pregnant, shenu ruyus leilei, so then mafsiyunu samiyat, then they can go back right away, because there is no concern of havchana. And then it tells us, v'imayu kohanos. Now, kohanos implies that they were the daughters of kohanim. which we'll explain more in a moment, as well as in the Gemara. So the girsa that we have is if nifslu mina truma, then they're no longer allowed to eat truma. The girsa in the Masoras HaShas, however, tells us nifslu mina kuna, they would no longer be allowed to marry a kohen. So the chiddush over here of the Mishnah is that if these women were kohanos, so they were the daughters of a kohen, and they had married a Yisrael, so they're obviously no longer allowed to eat truma. But let's say their husband died and they don't have any children from that husband, so then they would go back to their father's house and they'd be allowed to eat truma again. And they would be allowed to go and marry another kohen because there would be an almana, and an almana is allowed to go marry a kohen. So the chiddush over here of the Mishnah, as the Gemara will explain, is even though they are the daughters of kohanim and they got married to Yisrael, and now if they had relations with another man by accident, so nifsalu mina truma, they wouldn't be allowed to go back to their father's house and eat truma. In this situation, the mix-up that occurred over here would possible them from ever marrying another kohen, and as well, they wouldn't be allowed to go back to their father's house and eat truma if their husband died and they ended up going back to their father's house where they normally would be allowed to eat truma. This certainly also applies if it's just talking here about the wives of a kohen. They were Yisraelim, and they married a kohen, so then the same din would apply. Nifsalu mina truma, they would not be allowed to eat truma because they were pasul kahuna at this point in time. Tomorrow we'll discuss this a little bit more. Why are they telling us specifically kohanos? It's for the reason that I said, but the din certainly applies to the wives of a kohen as well, even though they're Yisraelim from birth. Now the Gemara starts off and asks the obvious question, hechlifu, midei birishoi, askinan. We start off this Mishnah seeming to imply that this was a wife-swapping l'chatchila type of an arrangement, rachmona l'tzlan. Is our Mishnah dealing with Rishayim that we should ask this question? And furthermore, v'su, ha d'tani Rav Chiya, that brisa that we learned from Rav Chiya, which I had already alluded to, harei kan sheishes re'chatos, that there are 16 chatos over here. Reuven brings 4, Shimon brings 4, Rachel brings 4, Leah brings 4, total of 16 chatos. You don't bring a chatos if it's mezid, even mezid, mi'ka carbon. So what would we be talking about here, that we're dealing here with an intentional mezid type of a situation? So again, it's a mistake in the girsa. Don't read it, they did it intentionally, but after the fact, b'shogeg, this happened. Something mixed up over here, and there was all a terrible, terrible, terrible mistake. And this is right, the Gemara says, hochanami mistabra, because d'ktani sefer, keep on reading, it says, if they were young girls, that they couldn't physically have children, then there's no concern of havchana as to who the father is, because they couldn't have gotten pregnant, so then you can return right away. Now, if we're dealing here with an intentional aveira, so then osu laboel, osu labal. We know the din is that a woman who intentionally commits adultery, so she's forbidden to her husband, she's also forbidden to the boel. So then misharia, would we allow them to go back in this situation? So obviously the gears of hechlifu, that they did it intentionally, is wrong, but it should be huchlifu, it unintentionally occurred that they mixed up. The Gemara says this isn't necessarily a good proof. Holo kasha, because we could say Peter Kitana onus ninhu, but onus b'Yisrael mishra shari. We could say over here if you're dealing with younger girls, so they can't do something b'mezid. They're not yet a bar das. They're not yet capable of making such decisions to be over an iser. They're children and they don't transgress. Everything is b'shogeg, and therefore, even though they did it b'mezid, but nevertheless, this girsa of hechlifu could be correct, but it wouldn't apply because it's considered bishogeg for them anyway. Onus v'Yisrael mishra shari. This is like an onus for them. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya from the fact that it says the ketanos could go back together with their husbands. So one says, okay, so what is the raya? Ella the ketani. Because look at what it says. It says, mafrishin osan shlosha chadoshin shemun barsein. We separate them for 3 months, but that implies that if they're not pregnant at the end of 3 months, halav mubaros shayin. If they're not pregnant, then they can go back to their husbands. No problem. I believe amazing, Mishari, but we let them go back to the husbands if they, in fact, had intentionally had relations with a man that's not their husband? Would we allow these women to go back to their husbands in this situation? Would it be amazing? Would we allow that? So obviously not. Ella, lav shmami no huchlufu. Therefore, the right kirsa really should be huchlufu and not hechlifu shmami no. This is a very good right. We now turn to Lama Dalet Amud Aleph, and we ask, who is the author of our Mishnah? Uman ha'itano de isle isokola v'isomosa v'isobasachas. Who is the author of our Mishnah that says that all of these isurim are chal on each other isur? As Rashi says over here, the top Rashi, the masnisin de isle isur chal al isur. Our Mishnah clearly has four isurim over here, one Isser is chal on another Isser, and you have all the different situations, and Rashi will explain this. We'll go through this whole Rashi. It's not that long, but it's an important Rashi. Masnis and this lay Isser chal on Isser. Clearly, the author of our mission holds that an Isser can be chal on another Isser, and this is true. Bein Aide Kola, whether this is Isser Kola on top of a previous Isser, Bein Bisser Mosif on top of a previous Isser, Bein Aide Basachas, or even they occur simultaneously. So the author of our mission, as we'll see in a second, holds all of these scenarios or Isser chal on Isser. Bevas Achas, Isser Kolel, or Isser Mosef on another Isser. What is the situation? Kagon. Elu shechayovin arba chatos, the women in our Mishnah who are chayovos, four chatos, or the men as well. And we have the gears of the Bach, dikishekidesh Reuven Nesrochel. In the first situation, Reuven was Makadish Rochel, so Tchilo Nesral Shimon. At that moment in time, Rochel is forbidden to Shimon because Mishum Eishesach, because she is Reuven's wife. So that's the first Isser that's chal over here, on Rachel to Ruve. The Eishes Ish, and at the same time, she's also an Eishes Ish. Behind Rav Asach. So here we see that the two Isurim of Eishes Ach and Eishes Ish occur simultaneously. And the Komachayev Leitana Didan Atavayu. And clearly, the Tana in our Mishnah, again, according to Rabbi Chia, says that there's 16 Chayev Chattas over here. So clearly, the Tana of our Mishnah holds that two simultaneous Isurim can occur at the same time in Bichal. So that's Bevas Achas. Then, what happens? Chozer Shimon v'kidesh Leia. Now, Shimon goes and marries Leia. Migu, the Asre Le Hanoch Kiddushin v'chulu Shar Achvosa. He now is also to all of the other sisters of Rachel Leia, Chana and Yocheved. So since this Isser applies to Chana and Yocheved, and also, therefore, Migu, Mishum Achos Isha, Asre Le Nami be'eshes Ochiv, Mishum Achos Isha. So this Isser of the sisters, Achos Ishto, now also goes on Rachel. Since it applies to Chana and Yocheved, the other sisters, so it also applies to Rachel. And this is V'afogad V'sura Le, B'kaima, even though she's already also to him, V'hainu Issacolo. This is in Issacolo. V'adayin Rachel Zu Muteris L'Ruvain Bala. But at this point in time, Rachel and Ruvain are still permitted to each other. So we have an Issacolo that was added over here. We have Bavas Achas. And now Pirsa Nida. She becomes a Nida. Migu di Tosef Isser Allah. Legabe Bala. Here there's an additional Isser that now comes on her for her husband. Until now she's permitted to her husband. But now she's a Nida. She's not permitted to her husband. So Mishum Nida itosif bonami Isser Legabe Shimon. So the Isser Nida goes on her. That's an Isser Mosif on her. So this Isser, if she would have relations with Shimon, would also go on Shimon. Hari Isser Mosif. So we see clearly from the Tana of our Mishnah that he holds both Bivas Achas. He holds Isser Kolel is added on to an Isser that was there already. And he holds an Isser Mosif is Chalal Isser that was there already, and therefore, who is the author of our Mishnah who holds Isser Kolel, Isser Mosef, Isser Bas Achas, on Rabbi Yehuda Marab? This is Rabbi Meir. This is Rabbi Meir. Why is this Rabbi Meir? Because now we have the gears of the Tanya, but the Mesoros Hashas says it should be the Tanan, because this is a Mishnah in Krisus, and this Mishnah tells us Yesh Ochel Achila Achas V'Chayev Le Arbo Chatos Yoshem Echon. A person could possibly eat one thing and yet be Chayev four Chatos and one Oshem in this situation. How is that? We have Tomei She'ochal Chalev. If you have a Tomei person who eats Chalev, and we'll explain in a moment why this is an example of Isser Kolel, Isser Mosef, and Isser Vasachas, according to Rav Meir. Who knows, sir? And it's also no, sir, Mina Mukdashim. It was hektish, and it was beyond the time that it was allowed to be eaten, so it's now an Isser of no, sir, as well, and this occurred on Biyom HaKippurim. Now, Rav Meir adds over here, in addition to these Isurim, you have the Isurim of the Arba Chatos of Tomei, who's eating Kachim, Chaylev, you're not allowed to eat Chaylev, it's Nosar from Kachim, and it's eating it on Yom Kippur. So, in these situations, Rav Meir says, Im Hoysa Shabbos, Votzio Befiv, if it was Shabbos, and he carried. Rav Meir doesn't hold that there's an issue of carrying on Yom Kippur, that's why he has to add that if it's Shabbos, and he carries it out while he's eating it, so then he's Chayev also for carrying on Shabbos. So these are the five Yisurim according to Rav Meir. Amulal, Enam and Hashem, the Chacham disagree with the Meir because he said, we're talking about eating and you're talking about carrying, it's a different name. You're right, we don't disagree with you, but that's why we didn't mention it. Now, how does this Mishnah from Krisus show that Rav Meir holds Isser Kolel, Isser Mosef, and Isser Basachas, that we should say that he is the author of our Mishnah? So again, we look inside in Rashi over here. Dibra Maskel Arba Chatos. So he says, Mishum Tuma, that he's Tomei, Do'ochel Kochim Betumas Aguf, that's Bekaris, so that's one Isser. Umishum Chelev, that's another Isser of eating Chelev. Umishum Nosar, that it's beyond its time, you're not allowed to eat it. Umishum Yom HaKippurim, Ve'osham Me'ilos, for Yom Kippur, Dafilu Kohen, Legabe Emurim, Zorhu, because the Emurim, nobody is allowed to eat that is a separate issur of Zorus, even for a Kohen. How do we see that they're all examples of issur Kol, issur Mosif, and issur Basachas? Look in the next Rashi, go a couple lines into the next Rashi, where he says, Alma, Isle Rav Meir, Kulu. You have all of these in this Mishnah increases as well. Why is that? When this animal was created, this animal was born. V'chulin, it's a regular chulindic animal. Nevertheless, nesra chalva, the chalva of this animal is also b'achila. All chalva is also b'achila. Umut ba'anah, but it's permissible to have anah from chalva. You like to sell the chalva to a guy. Huk tishah, but once you make it hektish, now, migudi tosif isra anah ala chalva, mishum kachim, now the entire animal is forbidden to get anah from it. It belongs to hektish, so this goes on the whole animal as well as on the chalva. Itosif bay nami isra achila. Mishum Zorus. So it also adds on to it an Isser Vachila of Zorus because it's now hektish. The Avagab the Osir Vakoi Vachila, even though it was ready forbidden Vachila, Havali Nosar, Migu, the Tosif Isser the Mizbeach, since now with Nosar it's also added on to the Mizbeach, Mishum Nosar, so Itosif Nami Lakoi, Mishum Nosar, so Rihanach Tre, Mishum Isser Mosif. So these are two examples of Isser Mosif on top of an Isser that was already there. Now, Nitmo. The guy becomes Tomei, who's going to end up eating all of this. So until this point in time, he's a Kohen. He was allowed to eat the rest of the kachim. The Achshav Nesa Behen, so now he becomes forbidden because he's Tomei. Amigu de mitzah bishar chatichos. Now he's also on the other chatichos, mishum tuma. So Nesa Nami Bezu, mishum tuma. Oh, and this is Nesa Kola, because he was already prohibited to this piece of meat beforehand. So Havalei Yom Kippur, Migu de mitzah bechulin. So on Yom Kippur, there's a general list of eating anything, Mishum Yom Kippurim, so Asanami B'Kachim. So this is added on to Kachim over here as well, Mishum Yom Kippurim. And it's another example of an Isser Kolel. Or Mi the Mechayev Le Rav Meir, Mishum Hotzor Shabbos. And since Rav Meir adds, that's why it's critical for Rav Meir to add on over here about Hotzor B'Shabbos. So Shabbos and the other Isserim occur simultaneously. Alma Isle Isser B'Vasachas Chayel. The Kiki De Shayom, as soon as it becomes Shabbos, at that point in time, Cholulav Isser Achilas Yom Kippurim, and Isser Shabbos. So clearly, this Mishnah increases, which we know is attributed to Rav Meir, clearly shows that he holds Isser Kolev, Isser Mosef, Isser Basachas, and therefore, in our Mishnah, Rav Meir must be the author. Very good. Now, Rav Meir had two Rabbeim. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of both Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. So now we're asking Rav Meir, Aliba Daman, which one of these Rabbeim of his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, is Rav Meir going like? Is he going like Rabbi Yeshua or like Rabbi Eliezer? And now we ask the following question. Aliba the Rabbi Yeshua, if we're saying he goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that can't be because Omar, we've already learned that Rabbi Yeshua's opinion is, Tor b'dvar mitzvah, if a person makes a mistake, inadvertently he does an isra, but he was trying to do a mitzvah, he tor b'dvar mitzvah, then he's pater, then you wouldn't be chayav achatas. So obviously, this can't be going in accord with the shita of Rabbi Yeshua. Oh, so the Gemara says, Ela aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, it must go according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. It says, even if you're tor b'dvar mitzvah, you'd be chayav. Now, that's one teretz. Gemara says, Iboy same. Alternatively, we can say, no, it even goes according to Rabbi Yeshua. Lo olam aliba de Rabbi Yeshua. It can actually be going even according to Rabbi Yeshua. We just said, Rabbi Yeshua holds, Amar Tov Dvar Mitzvah Potter. When did he say that? Ki Kom Rabbi Yeshua Tov Dvar Mitzvah Potter, Hani Mili Gabi Tinokos, this mano ball. That's only the situation. The Machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Eliezer was talking about if a person had a 7-day-old baby and an 8-day-old baby, and he did the bris milah by accident on the 7-day-old baby instead of the 8-day-old baby, or an 8-day-old baby and a 9-day-old baby, so he mixed up. The reason why in that situation, Rabbi Yeshua says, if he was trying to do a Dvar Mitzvah, albeit he didn't do it, he's potter, is because he's bohu. Because you got to do the Bris Milah on this 8th day. You got to do the Bris Milah on the 8th day. He's very, very concerned about not doing the mitzvah in the right time. Yeah, B'yom HaShmini, Mal B'sar L'so. So therefore, this Mano Bo, the time over here, makes him so confused and so possible to make a mistake. That's why, and only that's why, we say, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Torah Dvar Mitzvah, so confused, involved in this mitzvah, time-dependent, potter. But, Abel Hai, in our case of the Mishnah, who says they have to get married today? They get married tomorrow, they get married the next day. Abel Hai, in our Mishnah, even the Ein Zmano Bohol, lo. In our Mishnah, maybe Rabbi Yeshua would agree with Rabbi Eliezer that Torah Dvar Mitzvah would in fact be Chayev. So therefore, our Mishnah could even go according to Rabbi Yeshua, Lav Dafka, as it must go according to Rabbi Eliezer. More questions. He says, wait a second, does Rabbi Yehoshua really say that if it's not Baal, then he would say, like Rabbi Eliezer, that you would be chayiv if it's Tov B'Dvar Mitzvah? What about the following case, Rabbi Truma? De'ein zman ubol, in the case of truma, where there is no obligation to eat truma at a specific time, nevertheless, Yeshua says, Toa b'dvar mitzvah, he'll be potter, v'ka potter. What is this? The Tanan, with the Mishnah Trumos. And it tells us, Hoya ocha b'truma v'no dashu ben grusho ben chalutza, person's eating truma. He thinks he's a Kohen. All his life he's a Kohen. He's eating truma, and he suddenly is told that he's in fact the child of a Grusha. He never knew that his mother was divorced when she married his father, so he always thought he was a Kosher Kohen. But it turns out that his mother was either a Grusha or he's a Ben Chalutza. His mother was a Chalutza. And Midar Rabbanan, he wasn't allowed to go and eat truma. Or Midar Raisa is a Grusha. His mother was a Grusha. He's not allowed to eat truma. Now he's in the middle of eating truma. So he thought he was doing the mitzvah of eating truma. So mitzvah to eat truma if you're a Kohen. And what does it say? Rebbe Lezer mechayiv kerem v'chomish. Rebbe Lezer says in that situation, you're chayiv to pay back the principal, as well as we can't see you. The din is if a person inadvertently eats somebody else's truma, he has to pay back the principal and play a chomish. It's a fifth from the outside, which is a fourth from the inside. So if he ate $100 worth of truma, so he has to pay back $125, $100 to the principal, and then a fourth from the inside, which is $25, which if you make it from the outside, a fifth of $125 is $25. That's why it's called a fifth. That's the din of Rabbi Eliezer. But you see, Rabbi Yeshua's potter. Rabbi Yeshua says no. Since he was tov b'dvar mitzvah, he's potter. So you clearly see that there's no bol b'zmano over here, and yet Rabbi Yeshua's potter. So how can you tell us that it's only in the case of bol b'tinokos by the bris milah on the eighth day that Rabbi Yeshua says you're potter? But otherwise, if you're not bol b'zmano, you would not be potter. You'd be chayav. Here you clearly see by the truma that there is no bahela because of zman, and yet Rabbi Yeshua's potter. So one says, no, there is Bahol Bismano in this situation as well, because this was asked already over there. Hoyet Mar Allah, Amar Rabbi Barabaya, Rabbi Barabaya asked this question, and he answered, and he said, Hocha Betruma Be'erev Pesach Haskinon. Oh, coming up right now, to it's the 14th day of Nisan, and a person has to get rid of all of his chametz, and he has Truma. So he doesn't want to just burn the truma. He's an isser in destroying truma. So he wants to eat the truma. So he quickly has to eat it before the end of the fifth hour. So therefore, he runs and runs and runs to eat the truma. He's bal. And by accident, he ate it. In that situation, he's bal busmano. So we're dealing with Be'erev Pesach Haskinon, this mana bal. And that's why in the truma case, Rabbi Yeshua says, Tov b'dvar mitzvah, you be potter. But you're 100% correct. If, in fact, it's not a bal busmano, so then even Rabbi Yeshua would agree with Rabbi Eliezer that Tov b'dvar mitzvah would be chayav. Fine, so we've concluded saying that our Mishnah is in accord with Rabbi Meir. But there's another explanation to say who is our Mishnah in accord with. Until now we've been saying it's in accord with Rabbi Meir because he holds Isser Kolel, Isser Mosif, and Isser Vasachas. But there's another way to learn our Mishnah, and that's to say, in fact, our Mishnah is not an Isser Kolel, it's not an Isser Mosif. We'll have to explain in a moment why not, because we just explained how it was. But we'll see in a moment, it's all talking about the Vasachar. Vas achas. All four of these isurim, the isur of Eishes Ish, the isur of Eishes Ach, the isur of Achos Ishto, and the isur of Nida, all occurred simultaneously. And this goes in accord with the opinion that we learned in yesterday's shir, Baliba the Rabbi Shimon, who holds that isur vas achas, he is moda, the jachayah for each one separately. But isur kolal, isur mosif, he would not be. But isur vas achas, even Rabbi Shimon would be moda, that you would be chayah of each one separately. Now, how do you explain our Mishnah is all occurring at one time? So the first three are simple. Bishlama kulu mishkachas lu d'shavinu shaliach. The first three surim of Eishes Ish, Eishes Ach, and Achos Ishto could easily occur if Reuven and Shimon each appointed a single shliach. They appointed Levi to go and be Makadish their respective wives. Reuven asked Levi to go be Makadish Rachel on his behalf, and Shimon asked Levi to go and be Makadish Leah on his behalf. Meanwhile, Rachel and Leah, they appointed Yehuda to go and accept the Kiddushin on their behalf. So Yehuda goes and accepts the Kiddushin from Levi that was on behalf of Reuven and on behalf of Shimon, and he accepts it on behalf of Rachel and Leah. Each one is now fully appropriately married, the first stage of married, Kiddushin, Erisin stage, to their respective husbands, and all occurred simultaneously. Oh, so that's how you can have Eishes Ish, Eishes Ach, and Achos Ishto all occurring simultaneously. Very good. That's simple. Mashkachas ludish avinu shaliach vishavu inu shaliach upogo shaliach b'shaliach. Oh, that's how we just occurred, that Levi and Yehuda simultaneously did the transaction to make Reuven married to Rachel and Shimon married to Leah, and therefore the three Yisurim of Eishes Ish, Eishes Ach, and Achos Ishto all occurred simultaneously. El Nido, Sechem Mishkachas La. How did they all possibly become a Nido at exactly the same second, exactly at the second that they got the Kiddushin? So how do you tell us that this is Rabbi Shimon and it's talking about Bavasachas? How could that happen? So no, there's a simple teretz. Amar Rav says the name of Rav. We're talking here about bishofos, that they can had to continue its flow. Mitoch shloshosor liachas shloshosor. The women, Rachel and Leah in this case, had a continuous flow. Tosis points out, in Dibra Maschel, Mitoch shloshosor, which starts on the Amud Aleph, but the point that we're making here is found on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis in the Tosos, and he says that they had a flow before the boys were 13, and therefore they never went to the mikvah, the girls, and therefore they are status of Nida, but since they're all Kitanim and Kitanos, the boys weren't yet Bar Mitzvah, the girls weren't yet Bas Mitzvah, so the Issur of Nida didn't take effect yet. And then, boom, at the exact moment that they turned 13, the boys turned 13 and the girls turned 12. So at that moment, all the Yisroim kick in, including Nida. So we're dealing here, Bishofos Mitoch Shloshosor Lecha Shloshosor, that they had a flow going from the time that the boys were pre-13 to the time that the boys were post-13. Again, it didn't have to be. They just didn't go to the mikvah in that period of time. Lachovienu. And that's how all the men over here, Reuven and Shimon, who went from being pre-13 to now being a gadol, when they're bar mitzvah, so that Issur of Nida takes effect at the same time that the Kedushin takes effect. And likewise, the women, Mitoch Shnemasar, Liachas Shnemasar, they had their flow before they were 12 years old. Tosos and Tosos Achad Kamoy, which we find on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis in our Gemaras. So he says that Lav Davka had to be when they're 12. It could be before they were 3 years old, and they never went to the mikvah until they were 12 years old, because once they become 3, they're royal Lubiya. In any event, so they had a continuous flow, or they had at least the flow, and they never went to the mikvah, L'chayuvei Inhi. And that's how the women were obligated in becoming a Nida when they become Bas Mitzvah. And in this situation, we have all 4 Yisurim occurring at the same time. There is a potential problem over here. How could they give Kedushin while they were Ketanim? So one simple teretz that the Tosus Chad Kamoi gives is that, in fact, we hold like Rav Meir over here, and that you can be making a kinyan on a Dovah Shalom Bali Olam. So they did this, they would take effect only when it was Bali Olam, when they were going to be, in fact, 13 years old, and the girls would be 12 years old. Oh, it's a kasha. There are terutzim. Other than this, the bottom line is, this is how we could say that the Mishnah is really Rabbi Shimon, and it's all talking about Bevasachas, all 4 Isurim occurred simultaneously, and Lav Davka, if there's any Isur Kolel, or Isur Mosif, that's Chal on another Isur. Then we said in the Mishnah, Mafrishino son, the Mishnah said that we have to go and separate these wives from their husbands for at least a 3-month period of time because of Havchana. Ida Gemara asked the question, Rachel and Leah were both virgins, they never had relations before. We have a rule that a woman can't become pregnant from the first act of bia that she has. So why are we concerned? This was one act of bia. They can't become pregnant. Why are we saying that they have to go and separate them for 3 months? So the Gemara gives a teretz. Rav Nachman, Rabba Bar Ravua. Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Bar Ravua. Shebalu Rishano. They had relations more than one time. They had relations the first time, and they had relations the second time. Oh, from the first relations, they couldn't get pregnant. From the second relations, they could get pregnant, and therefore that's why they have to separate my Frishino son for 3 months. More questions. This, it says, Eloha, the Tana Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia had said, we mentioned this several times already, Hare Kan Sheshes Rei Chatos. There's only 16 chatos over here. Reuven brings 4, Shimon brings 4, Rachel brings 4, and Leah brings 4. But if they had relations a second time, so then there's a second time over here, Tlosim v'tartin havyon. So then they should have to go and bring another 16 for the second time that they have relations. We normally say that if you have relations twice that are also behelam achas, you only have to bring 1 carbon chatos. So that's the opinion of the Chachamim. But Rebbe Lezer disagrees with that. Rebbe Lezer tells us that even though they had Behelam Achas, each separate act, according to Rebbe Lezer, would be requiring a separate Chata. So therefore, this goes according with Rabbi Eliezer, that they should have to bring 32 and not 16. Where it says, if that's really what you're saying, so then Ultaimech, then if you're saying that this is Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer, the Mechayev, Al-Kokoach V'Koach, Tuva Havyon. So wait a second. So then Rabbi Eliezer also holds it's not for each separate bia that you'd be chayev, it's each separate thrust, so to say, each separate maisa of each individual bia would be a separate chayev. So each thrust would require a separate chata, so there would be much more than 16, much more than 32. It would be many, many, many more. Tuva Havyon, if you're saying that this is Rabbi Eliezer. So therefore, that can't be the Teretz. Ella what? Ella, the Bekoach Rishon Kochashiv, we're only dealing with the first action, whether it's Rabbi Lezer or it's like the Chacham that you only chayv one time, the Helam Achas. So then we're only dealing with the first Bia, the first action of the first Bia that they had. And that's what Rabbi Chia was referring to. Elo de koach rishon kachashiv. That's what he's referring to. Hachanami the bia rishona kachashiv. So only referring here to the bia rishona. If they did have a bia shtina, that's why we're concerned about mafrishno's son. But in terms of Rabbi Chiya saying that you only chayiv 16 chatos, 4, 4, 4, and 4. So then that's only referring to the bia rishona. Now this whole question about a woman not being able to go and give birth from her first relations that she had, this is open to discussion. Amalei Rav or Rav Nachman. Rav said to Rav Nachman, we turn to Lamed Dalet on the days. V'ha Tamar, the Bia Rishona Yabra. We know that Tamar had her first relations with Yehuda and she became pregnant. She had twins. So how can you tell me that a woman can't become pregnant with Bia Rishona? So that's what Rav asked to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Amalei, Tamar bi'etz b'moacha. You know what Tamar did? With her finger, she destroyed her hymen. She destroyed her besulim. It's the besulim that are destroyed normally in the first bia that prevent you from getting pregnant. But if you had destroyed the besulim, so then you could get pregnant. And Tamar was so anxious to get a child that would be Malchus Beis David. She saw through Nevuah the great children that would come from her. So she wanted to make sure that she would get pregnant as soon as possible. So moacha be'etzba, she destroyed her hymen, her besulim, with her finger. And therefore she was capable of becoming pregnant with the first relations that she had with Yehuda. The Amar of Yitzchak, komoacho shabes Rebbe, Tamar Shmon. Rav Yitzchak said that in the house of Rebbe, they were also very interested in having children as soon as possible. So they would do what Tamar did. They would destroy their besulin beforehand. And they referred to these women as Tamar. They did the act that Tamar did. The Lamanikor Shmon Tamar, why did they call him Tamar? Al Shem Tamar Shemoach HaBietzbo. Oh, here you see that Tamar did this, and they did what Tamar did, and therefore, that's how they were all able to become pregnant with Bia Rishona. Under normal circumstances, if you didn't do Bietzbo Moacha, so then you wouldn't become pregnant from Bia Rishona. Moore says, wait a second. Tamar was previously married to Er and Onan. For Havu, Er and Onan, how can you say that this was her Bia Rishona? And that's why she Moacha Bietzbo to remove the Besulim. That's why she would become pregnant with Yehuda. She'd had relations with Er and Onan. So Gemara says, the famous Svart, Er v'Onan shimshu shlo kedarkan. Er and Onan, they committed sodomy with her. That's why another word for sodomy is onanism. So she had never had normal relations. She never had vaginal relations with Er and Onan. They only had biyosh shlo kedarka. She had anal relations with them. And therefore, she would theoretically not have been able to become pregnant with Bia Rishona unless Moacha be'etzba. Now the Gemara says, Meisvei, how do we know that this is true? It tells us, Kol esrim yarba chodesh dosh mi bifnim v'zor mi b'chutz. If a woman is nursing a child, and they used to nurse for 24 months, so we didn't want that woman to get pregnant during that period of time, because if she got pregnant, it would dry up the milk and her baby would suffer. They didn't have Enfamil and all sorts of different baby formulas, and therefore the baby didn't have the mother's milk. The mother's milk dried up because the mother became pregnant, so that would be a disaster for the baby. So what they would do was, in order to prevent the mother from getting pregnant, when they would have relations with their husbands, dosh mi b'fnim, they would start off the relations inside, and then, bizarre, but they would ejaculate mi b'chutz. Divri Rabbi Lezer, this is the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. And the Chacham said to him, Amrulo, halalu eino elo kemaisi erv onam. What you're saying is wrong. We shouldn't allow this. We don't want the mother to get pregnant, but we should rely upon the principle of Shomer Pesayim Hashem. This is something that's accepted and normal, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that the woman doesn't become pregnant in this situation, so the child isn't hurt, or if she does become pregnant, the child won't be hurt. But you can't do this. This is wrong. Why is it wrong, they told Rabbi Lezer? Because it's like Maisei Erva Onan. That seems to imply that Erva Onan had vaginal relations, and they only ejaculated outside. So therefore, how can you tell us that they had done Bia Shelo Kedarka? They had anal relations with her, and not vaginal relations with her. So Gemara says, no. What this statement is telling us is ki ma'ase erva onan, however low exactly ki ma'ase erva onan. They did the idea that erva onan didn't want to get pregnant, but they did it in a different way. They didn't want their wives to get pregnant. They didn't want Tamar to get pregnant, but they didn't do it in exactly this way. What happened? Ki ma'ase erva onan. They did what erva onan did. Dichsiv v'ayo imbo elashis ochiv v'shiches arzah. It says beferish that they ejaculated on the outside. However, but it wasn't exactly like Erva Onan, because Erva Onan didn't do normal Bia Kedarka. The Ilu Hasam, Erva Onan, Shalo Kedarka, V'hoche B'Kedarka. And the situation in the Braisa, Dosh Mi'Vinim Zor V'Chutz, means Kedarka, but then they ejaculated outside. Whereas by Ma'is Erva Onan, it accomplished the same thing, Rechmon Litzan, that you should have Otzah Zel of Atala, but they didn't do it in the same way. So by Erev Onan, it was in fact Biyoshol Kedarka, as opposed to this Braisa that says that according to Rabbi Leza, you should be Dosh Mivinim Zor Mimchutz. So Nechama said that's an inappropriate thing to do, because it's like the Maisa of Erev Onan in that you're wasting the seed. It's Otzah Zel of Atala, but it's not exactly in the same way, because Erev Onan did it Shalok Kedarka, and here you're talking about doing it Kedarka. Now the Gemara says, okay, Bishlama Onan, by Onan, the second one, it says, it says, Vashiches Arza, that he ejaculated outside. In other words, it was a Bia Shalok Kedarka, and therefore, we understand it. Ela Er Minolim, where do we find that it says this by Pasuk by Er? So Amar of Nachman Yitzchak, he says, look at the Pasuk carefully, he says, Dixiv, by Yomes, it says that Onan was killed, Gam Oso, he was killed, Gam, Afuba Oso Misa Mes, he died for the same reason that Er died. Both of them did Bia Shalok Kedarka. Now, Bishlama Onan, we understand why the second one, Onan, didn't want to have Biyokidarka, Mishom, lo, yeah, Hazara, because doing Yibam, he felt that it wouldn't be his child, it would be Er's child in some way. But Er, the first one, my time of Avrochi, why did he do Biyokidarka? It would be his child. Why did he not want that? So the answer was, he didn't want his wife to get pregnant. Kideshalot is Aber, she wouldn't get pregnant. Viyachishofi, she was very beautiful, and he wanted to stay beautiful. Pregnancy changes a woman's body, and he wanted his wife's body to change. Interestingly, there was a very common practice in those days that people would have two wives. They would have a wife for beauty. She would not get pregnant. She would take various contraceptives that wouldn't allow her to get pregnant. And then they have another wife for children. And she would become, her body would change. But big deal. He had the other wife for beauty, and this wife would be the wife for children. This, of course, is totally keneged halacha. This is totally keneged our hashkafa. And just mentioning, this is what the Gemara talks about in a number of places, talking about certain maisim in Sefer Bereishis. In any event, Erev Onan certainly did something terrible and wrong. They both were obviously punished. And this, however, does explain why Moacha Be'etzba, why Tamar had to go and remove her Besulin, why her Besulin weren't removed from her first two husbands. Tanur Rabban, we learn the following Braisa. Rashi explains that this Braisa is talking about this Pasuk, the Isha Asher Yishkav Ish Osa Shichva Zara, the Rachatu Bamayim, the Tamu Ada Arev. And we're going to dash to the word Osa. So this Braisa tells us this word Osa, if a woman has relations with her husband and they're Zara, so they both have to go to the mikvah. Now, who has to go to the mikvah? The normal woman and her husband. Osa, however, is a miut, Rashi says, Prat Lekala, dear Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the word Osa excludes a woman from her first relations from having to go to the mikvah. The Chacham disagree. The Chacham Amrim, no, Prat Lishelo Kedarka. This is excluding somebody who has Bia Shelo Kedarka, so there's no Tumas Zera in this situation, and they don't have to go to the mikvah. Again, we're not talking here about whether you're allowed to do this or not. We're talking here about an inyan of Tumah. Now, Amalei Hon is the name of Berei the Rav Nachman, the son of Rav Nachman. His name was Hon, and he said to his father, Rav Nachman, Lema Kasava Rav Yehuda, this opinion of Rav Yehuda, that says Osa is excluding the Kala, is it because, Lema Kasava Rav Yehuda, HaTorah Chosa Al Tachshite Kala, that we didn't want to go to the mikvah because the Kala gets all, puts on her makeup and everything very expensive, and she goes to the mikvah, all the makeup is going to come off, and therefore we wanted the Kala to look pretty and not have to go through the expense of putting on makeup again. Is that why the Torah says, Osa, Prat, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to exclude her from having to go to the mikvah? So Amalei, so Rav Nachman tells his son, Ho, no. Lefisha, Ein, Isha, Misaberes, Mibia, Rishona. The reason why the Kala is excluded is because she can't become pregnant. And this Zera, when the Pasuk says, Visha, Asher, Yishkat, Isha, Osa, Shichva, Zera, that excludes Zera that's not capable of getting her pregnant. Now, what are Rav Yehuda and the Chacham arguing about in this Braisa? So, B'maiko Miflegi. Rabban and Sabre, the Chacham say, from the word Shichva Zera, Prat leha'ara, that comes to exclude ha'ara. Ha'ara, Rashi brings down as a machlokis elsewhere. This is incapable of causing a woman to become pregnant from just doing ha'ara. Either ha'ara is neshika, just touching the external genitalia of the man to the external genitalia of the woman, or it's just a minimal penetration, achnosas atara, just a little bit going in, and that's not going to make the woman pregnant. So that word, shichva zera, means it has to be more than just ha'ara. And the word osa is prach lo kedarka, to teach us that if it's a biash lo kedarka, if it's anal relations, so that's also not going to be the time of the woman, because that type of zera is obviously not able to impregnate her. And Yehuda says, no, you can learn out, Yehuda saw vash lo kedarka ve'ha'ara from the word mishichva zera nafka, and therefore he's left with the word osa to be a mir for something else, and therefore osa prat lekala. That comes, he uses to teach us that the kala is incapable of becoming pregnant from the first bia, and that's why she doesn't have a chiyuv to go to the mikvah. Again, none of this is halacha lemaisa. In all of our situations today, many of these dinim of tumah and tara don't apply. And again, this is really dealing with the times of the Gemara when many of these dinim were much more knowing in terms of tumah and tara. Now the Gemara continues. He also wrote the number of Yochanan. Rabbi came from Israel. He said, "Over the name of Yochanan, call Shishoa so Acher Bala Eser Shon in Venises Shuv Eno Yoledes. If a woman after her first husband either passed away or divorced her, she doesn't get remarried for 10 years. It will be impossible for her to have children again." What is this based upon? Amar of Nachman, Lo Shana. We only said this Elishain Daitli Nasi. If she didn't intend to get married, so to say, she unintentionally shuts down her reproductive capabilities by not having been thinking about this for 10 years. And therefore, if she didn't think about this for 10 years, then it's actually going to shut off, so to say. But if she did intend to get married, albeit she didn't find the appropriate shidduch for 10 years, misaberes, then she still can get pregnant. The Rava said to his wife, Rava ended up marrying the daughter of Rechista, an interesting story which we'll say over in a second. Rava says to the daughter of Chista, "You waited more than 10 years to marry me. After Rami Bar Chama, your first husband died, so you waited more than 10 years to marry me." Rashi alludes to, and the Gemara elsewhere tells us, that in fact, when Rava and Rami Bar Chama went to Rav Chista, when Rav Chista's daughter was a little girl, Rav Chista asked his daughter, "Which one of these two Tamidei Chachamim would you want to marry, Rava or Rami Bar Chama?" And she said, "Both." And immediately after that, Rava said, "Vano basra, I should be the second one." In other words, he wanted to live longer. And he said, "I'll be the second one, because the only way you'd marry both of us is if one of us died." So he said, "Dude, let Rami Bar Chama marry you first, and I'll marry you afterwards." And that's taka what happened. She ended up marrying Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama passed away, but Rava was still married to his first wife, and he didn't marry another woman. So Ruchis's daughter knew through this nevuah, so to say, that she was going to go and marry Rava. And as a result, she waited and waited and waited. Finally, when Rava's wife passed away, Rava in fact married her, but it was more than 10 years. So Rava jokingly said to his wife, to Rav Chista's daughter, he said, "The rabbis are making fun of you because we have children after you've been not married for 10 years, and yet we have children. It must be that you, Rachmana Litzlan, had relations with somebody during that 10-year period of time." So I'm Malay. So she said to him, "No." And that's the idea here. I know, since I was thinking of marrying you, that's exactly what we just said in the Gemara a moment ago. The additional caveat that Rav Nachman had brought down, Loshanu Eloshein Daitoli Nasi, if she didn't have intention to get married. And here she did have intention to go get married. Now, why would anybody have thought that she didn't have intention to get married? After all, a young woman certainly would want to get married again. So Mefarsh would bring down an interesting idea. She knew she wanted to marry Rava, but Rava was married, so she wasn't going to get married to him for a while. So she turned down multiple shidduchim. So everybody just assumed that she had no intention of getting married, because she turned down many, many shidduchim. Obviously, none of them were Rava. So therefore, that's why she turned them down. And therefore, they were making fun, so to say, "Oh, she must have had relations with somebody during that period of time, because they had children afterwards with Rava." So therefore, she reminded him, "Ana datai aloch havai, I had you in mind." Now, I don't really think that people were suggesting that Rachmana Litzlan, the Rav Chista's daughter, had relations with somebody else. But again, Rava was saying to her, "Since you didn't get married during this 10 period of time, and yet we're having children, so therefore people could theoretically suspect you." Okay. Another story. There was a woman that came in front of Rabbi Yosef, and Omrlo, she said to Rabbi Yosef, "Rabbi, I waited 10 years, and I still had children after waiting that 10-year period of time. So this din of the rabbis is wrong." So Amalah, so he said to her, "Listen, Biti, don't cast aspersions on the words of the Chachamim." In other words, he was telling her, maybe you weren't exactly chaste during this 10-year period of time. And Amalah, and she confided to him and said, "Lenochri nivalti, I did have relations with Nochri." Now the Ritva says, this woman clearly is a woman who is going to ask Chachamim Shailas and talking to Chachamim. So she was questioning, how could I have children if I didn't have relations for 10 years? So the Ritva explains that Lenochri Nivalti said she had hirhurim, she had thoughts about having relations with this Nochri, but not that she actually did. But again, as Rav Nachman had said, if she had interest in getting married, having relations during that 10-year period of time, even though she didn't carry through with it, so that's enough to maintain, so to say, her fertility. Again, this is not something that we can understand from a physiological basis, but fascinating Gemara. Finally, we'll just do a little bit more. Amr Shmuel tells us, this concept of havchana applies in all married situations, that we want to make sure we know who the husband is. He always waits 3 months, with one exception. Shmuel said, chutz migi ores umushuchreres, with a goyish girl who converts, or a shivcha kenanis who is freed when they're ketana, when they're below the age of bas mitzvah. These women don't have to wait, because it's impossible for them to get pregnant, and therefore, they don't have to wait. We'll ask in a moment, well, why is it only for a goyta or shivcha mishuchreres? Why not for a Yiddish girl? We'll see in a moment why not. So Gemara seems to say from here, Abo Kitana Bas Yisrael, but a young Jewish girl, Tzricha Lahamtin Shlosh Chodash, she does have to wait. Now, how come? Ubimai, what are we talking about? Ibe Mion, if she was married midirabbanan to her first husband, and she walks away with Mion, Shmuel himself was the one that said, Bama Shmuel, lo baye, she doesn't require to wait Hachana in this situation. Her husband divorced her, Ibe Get, it was a marriage Rabbanan, but it was released with a Get, midirabbanan. So, Amr Shmuel said as well, he said this one time already, Amr Shmuel, Mion Abo, Ainu Tzrich Lahamtin Shlosh Chodashim. If she did Mion, she doesn't have to wait for Havchana, but if she got a Get, Nosan La Get, Tzrich Lahamtin Shlosh Chodashim, she does have to wait. So again, why for a Ketana that's Jewish do we say you have to wait? So we're talking here, Ella Biznos, Shmuel's referring over here when he said, Kulan Tzrichos Lahamtin, except for the Giores and the Shmuchreres, when they're Ketana, the reason why we're saying over here that you have to wait for everybody else, including a Jewish Ketana, is Rahman al-Islam Ella Biznos, that she had relations out of marriage. And this, when we turn to Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, the Gazru Rabban and Ketana Mishum Gedola. The rabbis made a Gzeir over here, the Ketana Mishum Gedola. They said, in this situation, we don't want the Ketana to go and not have Havchana, because then we'll say that the Gedola doesn't need Havchana as well. So therefore, we say that we make even the Ketana have this 3 month waiting period of time, even though it's impossible for her to have children, as a Gzeira Mishum Gedola. Really? Do we make such a Gzeira? Me Gzeira Ketana Mishum Gedola? Is that true? But now, we just had it at the beginning of today's year. At the beginning of today's year, we had the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Mebeis, where we said, Beferishim, Hayu Ketano, Sheino, Ruri, Slei, Leid, Marcirin, Osamiyad, that if we're dealing here with the four chatos that were done, Reuven and Shimon each married Rachel and Leah respectively, but then they have relations with the other one. So we said, in that situation, that the Ketanos, if they were all Ketanos, they don't need Havchana, Marcirin, Osamiyad. So how do you explain that? It seems to go against what we just said. So Amar Gidla Marav, that Mishnah was a Horah Shah Yisra, that was a unique situation, and therefore, the rabbi said, in that situation, you don't have to have Avchana, but in every other situation, Gazru Rabbanu Ketana Mishum Gedola. Where it says, Michal Davai, that seems to imply that this Mishnah really happened? Was there ever such a case that Reuven and Shimon, they got married through Kiddushin, through the Shlichim, and it was a Shofas, the whole situation, but Vasachas, or even if it was Isser Kol, Alissa Moser, Vasachas, according to the first opinion, did this case really happen? Michal Davoy? Then you're telling me that this was Al Ra'a Shah? Shimon says, no. Elo Ke Ra'a Shah. So this was like Al Ra'a Shah, because V'chilof Lo Shchiyah, switching around, Rahman al-Islam making such a mistake is very, very unlikely to occur. And therefore, in this situation, it's like Al Rasha. And the rabbi said, we don't have to be concerned about this. It's very unusual. And therefore, in this situation, we're not goes or anything. And you could have them get back to their original husbands without waiting the premium period of time of Havchana if they were ketanas and not capable of getting married. We don't make such a gzera. But elsewhere, we're concerned about illicit relationships. Znus, Gazru Rabban Ketana, Mishum Gedol. The rabbis, in fact, did make such a gzera. We're now fully caught up for the 2 days of Yom Tov, that we would not be able to have the shiur on the first day of Pesach and the last day of Pesach. They're in a good position going forward to welcome this wonderful holiday and not have to worry about how we're going to catch up on that extra day. With this, we conclude today's shiur.